Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark. Today is Friday, October 7th, cannot believe it, 2016. And as you know, Fridays are call-in Friday. Let me give you the number right away. The number is 718-717-8296. And it's kind of sweet, but as almost usual, I have Dana Durnford guest hosting with me today. Hi, Dana. Thank you for joining me.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
I really want to thank you for joining me on Fridays. It makes Fridays a much fuller day, I think, for both of us.
It does.
If nobody calls in, you and I get to talk about stuff. So that's
And we have no issues with that.
Yeah, and we can, exactly. And so let me get to you first. I want to ask you about, you know, this hurricane that I have to say, this is how gaslit we are, at least here in the States. You know, when this hurricane is coming up the coast, when I first saw it, I kept wondering, I wonder if that's been geoengineered. You know what I mean? Like, this is my head. Like, we can't even have, like, normal ideas about the weather anymore because we know we're in the middle of the stew, the mix to use us all. You know what I mean? It's a shock. But, you know, it's headed, yeah. I don't know if you know about this, but it's headed right next to St. Lucie Nuclear Power Plant. Last night I was watching CNN, and there was a reporter talking on CNN about, he was talking to someone who said he heard crackling and fire, and he heard things going off near the electricity power plant. And the guy, it was hilarious because he's sitting there giving a spontaneous report. He's like, I don't know if you can see the lights back there, but they're sparking and lights going off, and the hurricane must be, the commentator was like, oh, well, don't worry about it. We don't see anything, so it must not be anything. The commentator was immediately trying to downplay what was being said. So,
or nuclear, yeah.
I mean,
they got a bonus this morning when he woke up probably for that one.
Yeah, but I mean, this is where we're at now. I mean, where we don't even know, like, the meltdowns are not going to be televised. They're not going to tell us. They're not going to be warning us, you know. They're just going to...
Hurricane Matthews is 12 miles high. It's 12 miles high. It's 700 miles wide. It's one of the biggest storms we've ever saw. It's the longest lasting Category 4 on record, period. And now it also holds the record all time for storm surge. It ripped Haiti to pieces. There's over 300 dead in Haiti. The first numbers coming out.
Right.
At the same time, there's a Typhoon Chaba. I'm going to jump right back to Matthew. But before I forget, Typhoon Chaba, Chaba, took out North or South Korea, a large section of it. It actually threw in the equivalence of a tsunami through the city. And we're talking about 233 miles per hour winds.
Wow.
And that's following Meranti hitting Taiwan and the Philippines, going up the gate and then going over and smashing into China, where it took out around a half a billion trees, plus everything else. That storm also was 230 miles per hour. We've never seen these until the last 2 years on our planet, but now we're seeing them popping up everywhere. Now, Hurricane Matthew, a gust at 170 miles an hour, 180 miles an hour, is coming in there. It just went through Haiti, the Dominican Republic, Jamaica. And that this is a phenomenal storm that has broken all the models. None of the models work. And this is what I've been out there harassing meteorologists out on the internet that are looking at their comment sections and replying to it, trying to get them to remodel things, because that was over the last number of days. And I was right, of course, unfortunately and sadly and horrifically, that it wasn't going to burn itself out like it normally would do, because it's so much influenced by the radiation from the warm temperatures on top of that. From the radiation, the Pacific's after heating up 7 or 8 degrees in a 5-year period. They were terrified that it was going to heat up 2 degrees over 100 years. It just heated up 7 or 8 in less than 5. And so nobody bothers coming out, except a few of them. But none of them are making a big fuss that they should be making when you look at what they've been feeding us for the last 20 years, about 2 degrees. And so this was dark because, as you know, it killed all the microscopic world in the ocean. And so that's when they die, they decay, right? And you're talking about a billion creatures per glass of salt water. And we're talking about the death of the Pacific Ocean on top of that. So this storm come in, and it had everything going for it to boost it. So a normal typhoon or a normal hurricane or a cyclone, these are all the same. They're just in different parts of the world, folks. But the hurricanes will normally form, and then they'll do their thing. Lots of them won't make landfall. What we're seeing is these things are influenced so heavily in the last 2 years that every one of them are completely destructive. The new future is now rebuilding countries after supercell storms. That'll be the biggest employer over the next couple of years, unfortunately and sadly again. That Mirante is also heavily drenching radiation again throughout the interior and washing it around. It's already aggregated in soil and landed. Now, I'm going to let you jump back in. That, because it's your show anyway, but I want you to talk
about... That's okay, Dana. It's totally okay. I was actually sort of dealing... There's a phone call that's wanting to come in, and I have to tell this to our listeners. I don't think this venue... I think if I answer this phone, it's going to put you on hold.
Go ahead.
So, okay, hold on just 1 second. But I think it's going to put the whole entire show on hold. So, hold on.
Oh, yeah, right.
I think whoever is trying to call, and if I remember this number, it looks like it's Chuck Hindman.
Can you call him back, or...
Yeah, I might be able to call him back. That's a great idea. So
can you call him on your cell phone and hold it up to your microphone?
I don't know how that would work, but that might actually
work. Oh, you know, that'd be fine. I've done it before. It sounds really good.
I actually think that I could give Chuck a call. I think I could actually join him in. I could, because I have talked to Chuck, so I think I could actually give him a call and talk to him.
What's up to you? What you doing?
Because he has lots of things to add in terms of what this storm is and what's going on. But I'm sorry about whoever's listening out there, because really message on Skype is telling me if you answer this phone call, your phone call will be placed on hold. So I'm kind of afraid to actually put the call through. So maybe this isn't Call-In Friday when we have you on.
I'm chewing up your Skype. That's why I'm trying to raise money for extra equipment before, was I wanted to be able to get many people on. But in order to bring each one on properly, it's around $7,000 for the machines.
Oh, my God.
So it's ridiculous. But what that does is color corrects the pictures. And if the signal is weak, it snatches the last clean picture and then just switches over to very high-end audio until you get a bigger feed coming in. So it does that automatically, so you don't lose the audio, but you end up with a high-quality picture while you're waiting for the audio or the video to come back on. It's very expensive, and it's the future of what I'm going to have to do. I have no options but to do it that way in order to talk to all the academics and bring extra people in. That's a whole different story, but go ahead, Lonnie. You were talking about the nuclear plants along the coastline. This is what I've been
Well,
trying
this is
to
the
find
thing.
out.
That, I mean, the thing with Chiba is actually even a good example. Like here in the States, we heard very little about Chiba on the news. And, you know, just a quick perusal of the news, it's a superstorm that got blasted South Korea, which we really had.
You're playing it down, yeah. I got the numbers, though, 233 miles an hour winds, yeah. A lot of them played it down to 120 mile an hour winds, and the mainstream media, of course.
Well, that's the other part, is like with this storm, I wonder if they're not actually saying that it's worse than it really is. I mean, that's my thing, is like...
Yeah, no, it's longest lasting, number four, category four, it's the highest storm we've seen, 12 miles up, 60,000 feet, and it's 700 miles wide. No, you can't play that one down. It just destroyed the Dominican Republic and those islands. A lot of the islands we still got no news on. We haven't got much news on Haiti. We only found out about Haiti last night, almost three days later. And
well,
there's no excuses.
This is the thing that I can't believe that nobody's talking about, why Haiti.
Donald Trump first,
we
know about
state.
It 7 minutes later. If Hillary Clinton got to grab onto a rail, we know about it 3 minutes later.
Well,
if,
the thing,
300
yeah, but,
people
you know,
die,
Hillary Clinton, the Clinton family, the Clinton-Bush cabal is why Haiti is in such a wreck after the two. I mean, they made millions and millions of dollars and did nothing for the people of Haiti. The people of Haiti should have a reinforced substructure there going on, but the Clinton Foundation, literally, the Clinton-Bush Foundation, literally ripped those people off and I feel are responsible for these deaths right now. That's how I feel. Let me give Chuck a call, see if we can add into this conversation, because that's a good idea. I actually have his number dialed up. Let me see if I can reach him. How about that? Add to group call.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Here we go. Let's see if he'll answer the phone. I ignored his phone call. Maybe he'll answer back, or maybe he's listening. Obviously, he's listening because he gave us a call. So it'd be kind of interesting to see if we can get him on the line and have him talk to you about all of this stuff.
Yes, this is Chuck.
Hey, Chuck, this is Lonnie Clark, the Age of Fission radio show. We're on the air. I saw that you called. For some reason, the Skype won't let me join calls in, so I have to actually call people back to make a call in Friday.
That's why we had problems last week, isn't it?
That's exactly right. Exactly right. So, and that happens to be because we're all what I call us truth nukers. You know what I mean? Like nuke truthers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out a phrase so it's not anti-nuclear, because that's sort of a negative connotation. So maybe we'll call us nuke truthers. But you gave us a call. What was it that you were going to add in?
I was just going to talk today, add in what we can do about the storms. It's just, there's a lot of things going on. And if you want 2 cents worth, I can...
We'd love
I can
that.
Add in and join Dana.
Great. Go right ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Chuck. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, Dana, how are you?
I know it's hard to hear me the way we're doing things, but go right ahead. Good, thank you.
Oh, I was just adding in to the 2 cents, and thank you for your continuous fight with everything that we were dealing with, just as much as I am.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing that we've seen. Anybody who really speaks out or starts to make an impact gets seriously harassed. It's a multi-billion, trillion-dollar industry. They're not going to let a few little ants topple the deal, you know.
Yeah, there's no fun without the harassment, you ask me. Anyway, there's no fun in this period, but there's at least if they harass me, I get a bit of fun out of it. I'm doing a lecture here next week in town, so I just got ads in the newspaper about Fukushima.
How is your turnout going, Dana?
Convicted on all charges without representation. Went through 18 lawyers. And then they issued a warrant for me on the second day while I was at trial before I was found guilty for missing a probation appointment in 2015. So they were going to find me guilty for sure. They had already made up their mind by day one. It was obvious. It was a toe-to-toe, get-it-on scrap. We scrapped for 2 days straight. And so I can't really talk about it because I got a gag order on that part of it. And I can get in probably trouble for just anything at this stage, obviously.
Really? You have a gag order? You're not allowed to talk about any of it?
Three of them.
That's legal double jeopardy or something like that.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, they're after me like you can't imagine. So there's 25,000 people in this town. So my ad goes in the newspaper. Flyers are going out yesterday and today. And these are detailed flyers. The ad is a quarter page ad in the local newspaper. And that was almost it was over $430 for that ad alone. And now today I start up my company. I finished, I got to go pay the rest on that company. And I just raised enough to finish that off. So I'll go do that today. And the company's, for the production company, is up and running for the documentary of the Expeditions for Life, the extinction event. And so we can have that legally and get it out to every venue possible. Legally that way, and also as a way to try to help raise funds for everything else we're trying to accomplish. And but at the same time, you know, the more they drag me, there's no such thing as bad publicity for me.
No.
I'm an activist, and if activists don't get erected... Go ahead. I'm sorry, Chuck. Go ahead.
I said no publicity is bad publicity, but as long as we're all in the all in the news, I guess it's just... it's all publicity.
It's,
you know, just like what I've shared so much of what you're doing and dealt with over the years on my outlets, and you know, we all know what's going on around here. We know that the natural microbial is in trouble, and that's what I do, is I just replace the natural microbial so we can keep on going and clean this mess up.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we could clean it up. But, I mean, the thing is, they're sort of, no matter how much we could clean it up, I think they're going to keep pouring it on us. I mean, this is a thing that I just do not really comprehend, is the level, they really act, it's like yesterday watching CNN with the guy standing right there talking about how he heard the power plant crackling and lightning and things were going on there. The NRC reports that they had an unusual event. And the people on television are downplaying it, say, well, it doesn't, you know, we don't see it, and there's really move along, and you never hear another word on it. I mean, it's, do they actually really believe that people, I mean, maybe people will just, like lemmings, just jump, walk right off the cliff and into the fire. Like, it's, it makes me wonder if, like, they aren't exactly, like, programming people at a subliminal level to just keep their trap shut and to freak out and... So that people like us who have a conscience, who are still connected to our conscience and our real selves, who aren't participating in that, look like the odd man out because we've all just been socially engineered and programmed to sit down and shut up. I mean, it's...
That's true unless you read my newspaper, Ed. And there was stuff there they didn't want to put in because they said they would terrify the community if I put it in the ad.
Did they really?
Right. Oh, yeah. And they're right. You can't blame them. But it's in the posters anyway, so.
Wow.
That's what we got to do. Go ahead. Go ahead, Chuck.
One of the other indices we got going on down there in Florida with that storm. You know, look at the surge way, storm surge. Look at the amount of moisture that's coming off of that region. But what they're not telling everybody is what's been leaking for the last 2.5 years down there south of Miami. We got a nuclear power plant down there doing the same thing Fukushima's doing.
That's right. And we have that
Like Fukushima's different. We're a chain reaction, melted down. It's consuming rock, steel, rebar, cannibalizing, ionizing, radiating that. That's coming in contact with fissionable products. So when people can, but these are really bad. Don't get me wrong. They're horrible. They're unbelievable.
Well,
they have to
be stopped. What I was referring to, Dana, was that it's leaking into the Gulf and into
right.
the ocean just like.
Right, like waste. That's what I'm saying. Like Hanford or something like that is waste, what we're talking about. Now, I'm just making clarifying this for everybody out there sitting on the sidelines that there's nothing like Fukushima. And this is just one of these reactors in a meltdown could kill the ocean easily, and that there's 6 reactors in each building and that's all gone. So I just want to remind everybody, because I see that connotations all the time, Chuck, that it's still unbelievably bad if you live anywhere near the plant Chuck is talking about, anywhere along that coastline. And if you eat any of the product off that coastline, this stuff is really bad. But when it comes to a chain reaction, like our biggest thing we got to focus on, besides shutting down everything, is shutting down those reactors in Japan. And you might have to sacrifice 6 million people to do it. But you won't have to sacrifice a million people to close down the one off the American coast, unless it's actually a meltdown. We didn't find out about it. Absolutely. You know, I don't see the meltdown, so that's why I'm saying it that way. I'm not trying to disregard what you're saying, Chuck or Lonnie.
Well, let me ask you this, Dana. Right now in Fukushima, have you noticed that this is one of the things I really wanted to ask you about? They've taken that little protective, that little pseudo building off of the frame. Have you seen that out over there on Fukushima? What's that about?
That's the number one unit. They put it like Kevlar circadian. Go ahead, Lonnie. Did you have another question?
No, I just wonder what the heck they're doing.
So what they've done was they put a Kevlar sarcophagus type around it. This was just panels that they lifted with cranes that were remote controlled. There was no people there because they would die within a minute. Mm-hmm. And so they built a structure with cranes, remote control cranes. It was built outside of the factory and brought in, or at another factory and brought in, and piece by piece they built it. Now that was to contain the emissions around the site itself. And so what they done was they piped that up the stacks, which are about 700 feet high. And then they dispersed it that way, the noble gases that are rising up and the chain reaction itself. But this was because it was killing everything, including equipment, that was getting close to it. And so now, because you're talking about buildings that are emitting gamma ray and gamma shine and beta shine and alphas and neutron bursts, we're talking about stuff that'll melt your organs in a few minutes and you'll die over the next 20 minutes. And that's why you won't see Harvard or Yale or Berkeley or Stanford or any of them there. This is why we see the homeless, the destitute, and the immigrants who don't speak the language going in there. And so now, if they contain the gases, there are too much gases, there's a big chain reaction starts up again, and there is, then all the gases need to detonate is oxygen. And so they have to vent it. But you know how a smoke shack becomes permeated with smoke?
Yeah.
You know, right? Like the wood itself becomes permeated. This is what's happening. So the material is able to put off a neutron shine, gamma shine. So dismantling it, what they're saying to get ready to do something wasn't. They're dismantling it to replace it at most because the pieces they're using are no longer functioning and they're dangerous, right?
Oh, okay. So they're going to rebuild it. They're taking it apart. They're going to put new pieces.
Well, think about a screwdriver that gets magnetized.
Yeah.
On a car battery. That's what the material is doing. And then the material is able to melt your organs, yeah. That's my take. And that's what we've seen before with accidents where the stuff becomes so radiated it had to be removed, the protection barriers themselves. And they have to do that, like, say, with Chernobyl every 20 years for the next 3,000 years. They have to put another sarcophagus on it because of that problem. But they say it's because it's other issues, but it's actually because of that Wigner effect. There's a name known for it, right?
Wow.
Go ahead, Lonnie. Yeah, no, it's really bad. This is six reactor cores melted down. Go ahead, Chuck.
Hey, over the years, I don't know if you've picked up on this too, but you know, TEPCO always talks about units 1 through 4. I have actually found at different points the meltdowns, and it only appears once in a blue moon. I will find an article that we've got. Meltdown 1 through 7. Have you got any way of confirming the 1 through 7 instead of just 1 through 4?
There's only 6 reactors there, and I got confirmation all 6 of them.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4 detonated. Caught fire, blew up. Detonated. Caught fire, blew up. Lost its. And lost their entire inventories. There was 5 reactor cores at the top of each building. Reactor 5 and 6 were in shutdown mode. But the numbers that I got, and I have well over 15,000 headlines on it now, that 5 and 6, and I have a lot of headlines on those buildings. Yeah. And so they had meltdowns. They had a chain reaction in the fuel pool. They lost their cooling, same as the rest of the plants in that 400 kilometers. There was 15 plants in that 400 kilometers. They are all the same models where they put the reactor cores for 10 years, and the reactor cores are changed every year to 18 months. That's why I say 6 reactor cores per building is probably more. And they have to keep them there because they're so hot. They have to keep them underwater. Because water, the hard water that they're using is a good neutron absorber and gamma absorber. So workers can actually normally, under normal conditions, go in these buildings. They're still being exposed, but it's in increments over a long time before it finally gets you. If you actually get a direct exposure, it'll kill you in a few minutes. But that's why they keep it in water. And when they lost the water, the zirconium cladding melts. It releases the noble gases. And it just needs a lot of gases showing up, even with a big gaping hole, and you'll have a detonation because of the oxygen. And then we've seen detonations over the plant. Kevin Blanch had had showed that over the last couple of years, where there's detonations happening outdoors a quarter mile away, where these big plumes are going out, and they hit a certain evaporation point, and then the oxygen sets it all off, and you have detonation, like little lightning, but bigger than that, actual detonations off-site, close to...
Actually, right, you can see that all the time. There's a YouTube channel called Fukushima Daiichi that I follow, and it's basically TEPCO. Right. And you can actually, they only put it on 1 and 4, and there is some question as to which plants they really are, because they lie about it all the time.
Right.
But they don't ever show the 4 plant, because that one seems to be in perpetual state of constantly blowing up. You can see the light exploding all the time in the background. I mean, and they cut the feed off if there's anything really... That they don't ever show us anything that really
happens.
And
then happens. The feeds are something like 30 times speed or something.
Yeah, 60 times faster.
You have to unpack them down to the normal speed, which most people don't have any ability to do, and you lose the integrity as you do it. Yeah.
I got
the equipment to do it, but most people certainly don't.
That's right. That's exactly right. And it's incomprehensible. I mean, and this is the other thing. Mimi Gurman posted this on the Facebook this morning about them closing down that power plant, St. Lucie. Every time they close down a nuclear power plant, they have to release radiation into the air. When they turn it back on, they have to release radiation into the air. And turning them off and on is detrimental to the internal structure of the nuclear power plant. It's not a good idea. Like, turning them on and off is, in fact, kind of a risk, which is why they don't like to do it. So
it's the most dangerous time, when you're slowing down or starting up that thing. Yeah.
That's right.
Most vulnerable. Yeah.
This is the shock, Dina, about the complete lies. I mean, do you think that the news reporters or the people in power just really honest to God don't know, or do you think they're just coerced into shutting? I mean, this is worse than what Hitler did to the people, because they're, you know.
If you're in mainstream media, a very high-end mainstream media, you know, and that you got that job because you killed people to get there in the first place. And it might not be directly, of course, but you definitely caused people serious misery, cover-ups, and were capable of being blackmailed before you got that job in the higher end. Right, why did they pay, what's her name on CNN? There's a gay lady.
Rachel Maddow.
Yeah, they pay her $7 to $11 million a year, but she only has like 350,000 viewers. They pay her that money because she's willing to lie, she's willing to deceive, she's willing to manipulate, she's willing to stage events and go along with it, and then justify it by protecting it after. That's why they pay them that big money. Don't pay them because they're actual, newsworthy people. They're not. They're
journalists.
You know, she came from Air America, and I watched her for a long time, and I watched her, like, honestly, this is when I knew the gig was up. She was a very outspoken gay activist, and that's kind of made her way up through the ranks of Air America. She went on MSNBC, and within a year they started, I actually used to call MSNBC, like, I was politically incorrect, like, they would put makeup on this woman who I used, and I, no offense to anybody, my daughter was offended that I told her this, but I would call her up, like, you know, like, she's a butch kind of woman, and they're dressing her up like a little Barbie doll. That is so antithetical to how her persona was before. And I watched her progress to the point where I regularly, even still now, will call up and give them a Tokyo Rose alert. Like, I'll call her up, and I call her the America's Tokyo Rose, because she does exactly what Tokyo Rose does. She will, like, straight out try to propagandize people, and it's like, she was the last person to really cover the Gulf Coast. Like, that's when she really got, that's when the switch flipped. When she went down to the Gulf Coast to cover the oil spill down there, it was some of it was pretty aggressive, but in that 2-month period of her coverage, you watched her from being an aggressive journalist asking hard questions to going to, like, being oatmeal. Do you know what I mean? Like, just
right.
Super
they do that.
Soft.
They do that to win people over. People come on board and say, finally, somebody with some grit to them. And they seem like they're gung-ho, and they seem like they're on top of their game, and they seem like they're sincere and genuine and everything else. And so they lull all enough fans in. In her case, it was 350,000. And then they turn into this little creature that goes out and mocks everybody for having any concerns and finds the handful of corporations that are needed covered up and then utilizes them to bludgeon any opposition. And so it's an utter betrayal in every sense of the word. And they put up the nuclear apologists in their medias, and they let them get away with saying it's like a banana, like potassium 40. Now, for 70 years, not a single journalist in 70 years has challenged that narrative. Not a single one. And so what does that tell us? That tells us this is 100% these people. You can't be that gullible and that naive for that long. See? All the media couldn't be that way. One of the media could have spoke it at some point. And so how is it none of them can tell the difference? How is it none of them can have a counter-argument for that, but could have five people there to counter-argue Donald Trump or anything else, right? I'm not advocating Donald or Hillary or anybody else. I'm just saying when it comes to or some crime in the community, they can have every advocate for all day, every day. But when it comes to nuclear, the only one they can get is the pro-nuclear. And it's the same language. You know, it's like a banana, it's like potato chips, like getting on an airplane, it's like a dental x-ray.
It's worse than that now, Dana. At least here in the States, they're starting to tell us that radiation is actually not that bad. It's pretty good. That is old news, that was old science that they've proven now. I actually had a girl from the University of Oregon argue with me that the French know what to do with their waste, and it's just not that harmful, and that the reason that we don't have that same type of protection in America is because of people like me. Seriously, my eyes about bulged out of my head when this girl, and I said, where did you get this? She's like, my environmentalist teacher told me this, my teacher on environmental studies, and I'm like,
climate scientist is pro-nuclear, right? The climate scientists will deionize oil, coal, and gas, and then they might not necessarily say nuclear, but the only solution now is nuclear, and then nuclear is always put on a pedestal as carbon-free, right? And so nuclear by proxy now becomes carbon, which is not obviously. You got to dig up mountains. You got to use a mountain of chemical just to turn the reactor on. You know, it takes 10, 20, 30 years to build a reactor. It takes a decade, $500 million just to scope out the land. They have to usually evict people from the property in order to put it there. And then you got all the construction is all gas and oil. And then not only that, but a nuclear power plant can't even run without a coal, oil, or gas plant dedicated to it. It needs its own power supply. Nuclear doesn't support itself, see? So you can have a nuclear power up the road, another one down the road. They can't support each other. They got to have their own gas-fired, coal-fired plants. And a coal, you can live with coal all your life, you know, and you get sick, move away a little bit, and you'll be okay. But you get a single isotope in your body, and if you live within a 50-mile nuclear plant, there's six times more cancer that we know about for women, breast cancer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But nuclear is a single isotope will get you 10, 20, 30, 40 years down the road before the cancer shows up. But there's 1,800 diseases, illnesses, autoimmune deficiencies will show up before the cancer, as I keep telling everybody all the time. But now we're beating that argument where I don't see the cancer arising. No, you should be looking for diabetes or Alzheimer's or dementia or autism or heart or liver or lung or respiratory, not cancer. Cancer is the last one to show up. And so as we beat those drums.
Or endocrine problems. You know, my daughter actually got really mad at me. My little granddaughter had a problem. She had like a blood sty pop up below her eye. And I said, oh my, and she said, oh, well, Mama, don't worry. It's just a minor endocrine problem. I'm like, well, Mike, I said, you know, that's probably from, you know, keep her out of the rain. Like, this is like serious. This is probably from Fukushima. She got super mad at me. She's like, Mom, don't ever talk about that again. She got really mad.
That's called a trigger reflex, eh? A trigger reflex. I see a lot.
It was it really flipped me out because, like, you know, and I actually, like, she gets mad at me. We went out for a hike, actually, recently with the kids, and it started raining, and my little grandson's 7. He put his head up to the sky and held his tongue out, and I'm like, oh, my God, Julian, don't do that. And he's like, why not? And I said, because I'm not allowed to use the R word. So I said, there's gas in the rain. He's like, how can there be gas in the rain? I said, you know what? Just take my word for it. The rain is poisonous. Don't let it in your body.
And that's my daughter. Yeah. No, that's correct.
And it was funny. My daughter didn't say anything, but she kind of gave me that stank eye. You know what I mean? Like, she wasn't going to argue with me in front of the kids, but she was not pleased. And I'm like, I honestly did not care. Like, I don't care what kind of fight it is, but I definitely tell my grandchildren, because we live in the Northwest, it rains here all the time. You can't keep a kid out of the rain, but you can tell them, don't let it get in your eyes. Don't let it get in your mouth. Try to keep it off. You know, let it only go on your skin. And if you have any sores, cover your body. kids. And people do not want to admit that it really is happening. It is so grotesque. People want to hope that if they ignore it, it won't be real.
Right. And you can't go ahead, Chuck. You got something?
Yeah, it's just like right here. We're getting ready to go into our winter months out here in the middle of the country. Now, I keep telling the grandkids and everybody around me, do not go out and play in the snow. And for old time's sake, do not eat any of it.
Right, right.
Yeah, don't you eat that yellow snow. Frank Zappa. Well, now it's real.
Yeah,
we got to come up with solutions, and that, like, we should be using every trick in the book to get as much radiation out of our food and our water as we can. We got to come up with
Chuck has that machine to take the radiation out of the air in your home, right, Chuck? Like, he has this machine. I interviewed him about a week ago. There is actually something. Why don't you explain it really briefly, if you could? If you could synopsize it in 5 minutes, Chuck, that would be awesome.
What we're doing is we're taking the natural microbes, and we're turning them from the liquid state through the machine in our homes into a fog, using a cold ULV mist fogger. And we're putting the live microbes airborne that can bring down a lot of the airborne contamination within our homes so our bodies can recuperate at night.
That's awesome. That's great news. Glad to hear it. That's what we're talking about. That's what we need
exactly.
to do. That's the kind of equipment we want. If it can take down 3% or 1%, it's worth every nickel. If it can take down more than that, it's a lifesaver. It's still a lifesaver if you can take down a single percent each out of your home.
Now, Dana,
that's a winner.
One other thing, you know, with Fukushima, you know, dealing with microbes, there are many, many formulators. There's a lot of people dealing in microbes. Now, you can go onto YouTube or wherever, you can Google search.
They aggregate radiation. They're smaller than, or they're bigger than what we're talking about. But go ahead, yeah.
You can do a YouTube search, and you can see videos where they're actually using the microbes over there in Japan in the orchards, and the soil may be contaminated, but they're testing the fruit that's coming out of the orchards. The fruit is not, and that is through the use of the natural microbe. Now,
well,
whether
fruit that's coming
in natural,
the fruit that's coming. No, no, there's radiation. You can't avoid it. You can't get rid of it down here. Yeah, you can't get rid of it. The minute you picked it, radiation landed on it anyway. Right? The minute you tried to put it in a vehicle, radiation was all over it again. If you took it out of the ground 100 feet down, when by the time you got it up, it was covered in radiation. Because there's so much.
And that is why I feel we shouldn't be allowing any import-exports out of Japan, whether it's vehicles or whatever, because these vehicles are contaminated and people don't realize that.
Yeah, thank you, Chuck. That's right. And they are. They're exporting more and more food to America. The biggest amount of food is going to Taiwan. And that we've seen mushrooms and tea and pine needles and stuff like that coming out of there from Tokyo, or including Tokyo, from Japan, coming to North America. And Hillary Clinton, of course, signed a pact right after Fukushima where they didn't check the food for about a year and three quarter. And then a new administration, when Hillary stepped down, remember, then a new administration banned 14 prefectures north of Tokyo. Literally every prefecture north of Tokyo was banned by America, even though they have lifted that on some of them. But that's because the whole industry is mentally ill. The governments are mentally ill, and your media is mentally ill, and your universities are mentally ill worldwide because they're pro-nuclear. They're batshit crazy nuclear freaks, traitors, disgusting, pathetic, despicable, harmful people that have banded together to fool everybody and keep the narrative of bananas and potato chips and walking in sunshine as the main narrative. I mean, that's running out with all these supercell storms that we got coming down the coastline. This is radiation enhanced at minimum.
And the nice part about even with Canada and the United States, you know, history repeats itself. History has shown us through the natural balance of our planet. The microbes are very important in keeping us in balance, even with the natural radiation we've dealt with from creation.
Run that by me again.
With the natural born radiation via sun, wherever.
Right, that's homeostasis. Planet. Your body regulates it naturally, yeah? Because everything on the planet got that in it. It's not radiation, it's just emitters. Out of the the over 5,000 elements of the solar system, only about 162 of them are actually emitters, but none of them can power a flashlight, say. If you had a ton of natural stuff, it couldn't power a flashlight, but a gram can power a million one-watt flashlights for 9 months of the man-made stuff. So I'm just trying to help people who are trying to work out what Chuck is saying there. Go ahead, Chuck.
But with our natural organisms in our soil, we can offset and have a little bit safer environment in where we can grow our food and change our this acceptable death rate on our water.
Well, people have been, people are being conditioned to just accept death as a normal. I put out a YouTube video the other night. Like, I can't believe that people are willing to accept that brain cancer is the number one killer of children in our country. And no one is freaking out. Like, I that just, like, burns in my head every single day. Cancer is now the killer of children in our country. What is that telling us about how we feel about the children of our country? Like, this is, it's so incomprehensible that people are willing to just sit down and shut up and call us conspiracy theorists because we're willing to talk about the harm that nuclear really is doing. It's actually doing, we need science.
We are fighting. We are fighting for every creature and every human, even if they hate our guts. We're fighting for their loved ones, their friends, their families. We're fighting for everybody, the government, even though we don't like a lot of them, we're fighting for them. We're all in that same boat, and we have to fight. We got to exist. We have to have a resistance. We got to push with everything we got. We got no time. We are definitely running out of time. We are on a clock, and we better get our action.
On a death train.
It's
kind of like that Dakota Pipeline. You know, we don't hear much about it, at least in our country, we don't hear about it. There's people out there, you know, about at least 1,000 people definitely camping out along that pipeline road, and they are just bulldozing them down. They don't care. They're arresting them. There was a story yesterday that said they're going to be bringing in more sheriffs to handle the protesters from around the country to go in and arrest the protesters. That pipeline will be built. They don't care who they have to kill. And you know, one of the things
I don't care about the pipeline. Go ahead and build all the pipelines you want. Build them all. Build 500 down the road, around my house, over my house, under my house. Anything but nuclear. I'd rather have to eat coal every day than have nuclear on the planet.
I was thinking that pipeline is going down right where all those, you know, there's over, we talked about this, the abandoned uranium mines. I did more research, and actually, those uranium mines are not near where that pipeline is. In fact, the pipeline seems to go right next door to it, right?
Without the pipelines, without the gas, without the coal, we'll never get rid of nuclear if we don't go ahead and get more of it and allow them to do what they're going to do. We got to do it. We got 7 billion people on the planet. We got to put up with something. We can't have everything hunky-dory. But people are being – this is the pro-nuclear is funding the anti-oil. That's pro-nuclear doing that. You'll hear it in all the lectures and all the conversations about it, how that works. Because like that's their game is to demonize oil. And the only way to do that is to cause the conflict, is to cause the controversies, right? But we need that. And, like, I've had friends of mine here in the community freaking out because they're building oil lines across here. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Would you rather a nuclear power plant up the friggin' coast? I don't like it either, but we got to give a bit. We have to give a little, and we have to be – and we got to gut up for that. We can't just say turn off everything because it doesn't work that way.
Don't you think we could go to solar and wind?
We can, but the only reason that oil dropped down and gas dropped down was because of Fukushima. Because they shut down 54 reactors there. And in order to keep Japan alive, that was their game. They had to drop the prices down so that Japan could afford, right, to keep their economy afloat, even though they were endlessly pumping money into it. As soon as the tsunami, earthquake, and accident happened, what did they say? They said they're taking all kinds of money. They're printing up all kinds of money down there in order to kickstart. Because they just had 400 miles of the coastline, 10 kilometers in, ripped off the entire country.
You know, this is another thing. What about hydrothermal power? I mean, like, we have water. The planet's made up of mostly water. Why can't we develop a energy source using the power of water? I mean, water, that's kind of like what the nuclear power plants does, really. It sort of generates steam to build
hydrogen,
turbines.
Hydrogen, you can't store hydrogen, see? So they're always trying to make hydrogen on the fly, but you can't store it in cascade tanks or something like the big diver tanks or welding tanks. If you put a bunch of them together, that's what they call a cascade, and then you have a big supply on board. You can't do it because it's so tiny, it'll actually get out of the bar, it'll escape within a short period of time, right through the steel. That's the physics, right? And so we're able to do it, but we're not trying, and we got no intentions of replacing anything out there, even though there's a lot of people working hard at it, and the technology and the battery capacity. Like for batteries, another way to store batteries is air pressure. So instead of having batteries, we have air pressure, not hydrogen, but actual just volume air. Like, you know, you put in your tire and whatever, right? So you can pressurize air and contain it for years, but and maintain its integrity in very high torques, and you can build these cascade tanks at 5,000 and 6,000 PSI with just an adapter. I used to use them for diving. I was a commercial diver for 14 years, 14,000 hours underwater, logged in. I got another 3,500 or so wreck diving and other pursuits. But the big problem they're saying is batteries, right? The batteries haven't changed capacity, but they have. The lithium stuff like that has changed. But lithium is still not as good as lead, but they are in ratio or weight, but they're not in actual capacity. Lithium will just go flat. You know how your phone dies? But you notice how electric battery, you can still get torque out of it when it's really low. It still has energy enough to run certain things, whereas a lithium will die flat out. But ultimately, we could have solved this a long time ago by just using air and volume tanks, and we have no problem. The biggest element on the planet is steel. And that steel, we've been molding steel now for several hundred years. And so building these tanks are obsolete technology, and that we know how now to coat them properly. They can last for 50, 60, 70 years without losing any of it, before they start to lose some of their integrity, like rust and stuff. And so that was the solution, was right there. It was one of the solutions. Yes, we can do wind. We can do solar, and we have. We've showed that over 300 miles, if you put a windmill, I think it is every 30 miles or something, that's a nuclear power plant. But look at the deserts where we don't utilize the deserts, where it's sunny almost the entire year. Look at ocean currents on the coastline, where the wave comes in. When it hits the coastline, what does it do? It produces the pressure. Right. And if you hit devices on the coastline, exactly, it can capture the air pressure, even little waves, and then you can store it the same as a dive tank or your car tire. And that would solve all of our we wouldn't have to use toxic lead and acids anymore for batteries in that capacity. But we can build batteries that can hold enormous amounts of pressure, or tanks, small tanks that can hold enormous amounts of pressure, and more pressure and be able to put out more energy than a normal battery. So the technology is there. We are heading there, but they want to get rid of the majority of us.
Chuck has this machine that could actually, you know, the government really, if they really wanted to do something, Chuck would be a millionaire right now. I mean, they could invest
machine.
His right. corporation, no, and it would be in every household across America.
Right. And then you have somebody else's machine that also helps on that same end, and maybe somebody else's machine that also helps scrubs the air. You got three technologies. They didn't work together, but they're available. And so that's what you would do. And you would do the same thing for your water. You would do the same. And when it comes to food, if you use structured water, your food will grow 30% quicker, 30% bigger. Think about that one on its own. Structured water is like mountain water, deep spring water. And there's devices that can change your water.
Right.
So if you're growing your own food, you can grow your food 30% bigger, 30% quicker. So and it's just natural.
Well, it's just water. Microbes. Like on my garden, I put microbes on my garden, and they're like, bing. I mean, I can grow lettuce in the wintertime. You just put it in a little greenhouse. You can grow lettuce and kale. You can grow food, at least here in the Northwest. Put a little piece of plastic over your garden. You know, you build like a little tent over your garden. And it's actually an incredible, you know, I'm from California. I'd never even actually really seen food grow before I moved to Oregon, right? So it was really astounding.
Lonnie, I got Terry's here with me. Terry was on the expeditions. He was on three of those. Do you want me to put him on the show for a few minutes?
Yeah, if he could join us.
You can ask him a couple of straight. Just ask him a couple of questions about the expedition, and I'll stay out of it. Here we go. Okay. I'm going to bring him over to you.
Okay, great. Hey, Terry.
Hi, how are you? How are you doing?
Hey, Terry. So we could barely hear you. We need your volume up a little bit there more.
Oh, is that any better?
Yeah, that's a lot better.
Great.
So we have Chuck on the line. Chuck, do you have any questions about the Expedition for Life for Terry, who joined Dana on the first?
What did, you know, other than what we already, so many of us already know, what did you, let's just revise it, what did you guys see in the Expedition in life?
Mostly death.
Mostly death. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's short and succinct. That's spoken like sad, a true it? Canadian.
Yeah.
Wow. And, I mean, this is one of the things I wanted to ask you guys. When you went up there, because it must have been emotionally, completely emotionally draining for you to actually go up there. No one wants to have what your worst fears come true. You know what I mean? It must have been emotionally draining for you guys to go up there and just take a look at what it looks like now. I mean, how did you guys respond those first few days when you realized it was worse than what we probably suspected?
Well, we didn't sleep too well.
Really?
Yeah. And, yeah, it was heartbreaking. It was very, very sad.
And so when you came back, did people actually believe you, people in your community, when you were talking to people?
Very few.
Really? What did they say to you when you told them about it?
Well, I guess they thought we were a little messed up.
Really? They thought you were, like, making stuff up just to be, like, fear-mongerers?
Yeah, pretty well. That's some would listen, some wouldn't. I guess I don't... It's hard to say, really, because... people are going to believe whatever they've been told forever. And for us just to agree with what we're doing and what we're trying to tell them coming from nowhere, yeah, they don't listen much at all.
Well, it's like what Richie Allen says. The reason people don't believe you is because what are they going to do on day two? Right?
Exactly.
Like, after you acknowledge it, you can't go on with life as usual. This is why I'm on the radio, because once I realize, like, it's the most urgent thing. Our planet is really literally, people say, well, World War III is coming. No, World War III is on, babe. It's, and we are the target. We're it, you know? So it's,
actually, I think a world war would actually cause less damage.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's probably true. Oh, my gosh.
Pretty sad.
Sad.
Yes, sir.
What do you think we can do as a group to help educate these people to understand just how serious this really is?
Well, we really
what do we
just,
all need to do as a group.
We just all need to get together and put an end to what's happening, and it's going to take most of us to do it, not just a handful.
Mm-hmm. And how do you think we can get people to pay attention? Or, I mean, have you guys been effective in your own community to, like, rouse the troops in your own community?
Things are changing. Yeah, we have quite a few people that are on board. A lot of people understand. And, of course, they're in the same position. There's not much you can do except a little bit at a time. It's all they're allowing us.
That's right. Well, you know what? It is the little bit at a time. I mean, every drop fills the cup. And this is what I tell people. We're going to become the tsunami. We are the tsunami. Like, they don't see what's happening. Right now, the tide is low. But when we get enough people in that low tide, the whole thing is just going to pull the system back. And it's gonna drown under its own weight. The key is for us, how do we survive through it? How do we help our children? I mean, at least for me, I'm 60. Our children really are what matters. I mean, I've lived my life, but my whole focus is to figure out a way to save my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. You know, I mean, as we've seen, almost every single week, something catastrophic is being disclosed, and nobody, it makes the news, and it's yesterday's news. It's like, you know, these nuclear power plants that are going up and down, they don't even tell us that they're releasing radiation.
They haven't since they've started.
No,
been many years. Many years
That's
they've
right.
been lying to us.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Well, up in Canada, you guys are being bombarded. I mean, that's the thing. You guys,
so.
Are you seeing many mutations in your plants up there at all?
Well, things seem to be growing a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Flowers don't seem to be living as long as what they used to. Dandelions have been taken over by another type of plant that looks like a dandelion, seeds like a dandelion, but it's not good. Like, it's taken over everything.
Huh.
Yards.
Now,
like, it's wicked.
No, she said mutations, Tim. I've got I've experienced right here. See, I'm in the middle of the United States. I'm here in Kansas. And in the western half of Kansas, I have just by myself have found three mutations in baby calves from last spring. One with two noses and two baby calves were born with two heads. Do you guys see any of that going on up there?
We're not, we don't get around that way in order to find this stuff. We're usually at home or Dana, he's always on the machine. And everything else, it just goes with it. But as far as mutations, I don't think, Dana, you've heard anything of, except for that deer that was over on Harwood Island that had the big lump on the side of his head.
And salmon with black stuff on their mouths.
Totally covered.
Just locally.
Yeah.
We had dead sea lions down here on the coastline. Three of them at one point.
Wow. Well, I do know I talked to somebody who worked for the Fish and Wild Game up in Washington, and she said up there near Hanford, they see two-headed snakes, they see two-headed deers, and they're not even allowed to report it. If you report it to their bosses up there at the Hanford Reservation, they just basically get terminated the next day. They're just done. No one, you're just not allowed to. The culture of secrecy is permanent, as she put it. It's a permanent. If you even think about it, you're gone. And you can't find another job as any type of a scientist or an engineer. And her husband was a judge. And I said, well, what did your husband think about that? He said, well, you know, he's in the system. He actually, you know, he thought it was interesting, but there's not much he could do about it. I'm like, the complicity at people even at the top is what really shocks me. You'd think, I mean, I guess that I'm completely naive thinking that these people have some sense of humanity and integrity, because lying about nuclear is basically murder. That's how I feel about it. It's just a murderous industry.
Murder and greed.
It's incomprehensible. I mean, it's worse. You know, I actually was targeted by the government. I used to really want to get Bush impeached, right? And I used to say that Bush made Caligula look like an infant. And now I'm beginning to realize this whole nuclear industry, like, it's incomprehensible the level of just sheer disregard for human life and destruction. And they really don't care. We really are assets on their balance sheet. I don't know.
It was nice talking to you.
Nice talking with you, Terry. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for giving us a different perspective.
Yeah, you have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Wow. That was pretty interesting. Hey, Chuck. So, Chuck, we have a few minutes left on the air. Why don't you tell people, because I did do an interview with you, I think it was last Monday. Why don't you give people your website again so that they can do that, and then we'll have Dana share his website.
Main website on the web is midamericalandrestore.com. Hit the contact page. You'll find a direct email button and phone numbers to communicate with me or Mid-America Land Restoration via Facebook. You'll even see some of Dana's stuff on my Facebook.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for this hassle. I know I had to give you a call back, but I'm glad that we got you on the air. And Dana, are you back with us?
I am.
So why don't you give people your website? We have about 30 seconds left.
Well, first, you should have seen the look on Terry's face when I tried to get him on the microphone that time.
I bet.
Sure, Terry. And nuclearproctologist.org. And the documentary from the expedition is coming out in another 2 weeks or so. It'll show up on my site for sale. And it'll show up everywhere else, hopefully, at the same time.
That's awesome.
Hugs for everybody. Thank you, Lonnie. Yeah. Thank you, Chuck.
Cool. Thank you, and this has been Calling Friday. You've been listening to Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision with Dana Dernford and Chuck Hindman. Put your courage feet on, take some action, do what you can do, and we will talk with you guys on Monday. Thanks a lot.
This is J.J. Ng of Against the Wall. You're listening to UC.